Welcome to Satsang. Welcome everybody today. And I'm going to put you in interactive just to say hello, see if the audio is working. Hi everybody, hello, hello.
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 Hi. Hi. Thank you. Thanks for being here. Good. I did see Juan. Carlos, you have two lines open. Just letting you know, there's two web calls, so you might find that it's not necessary. You can drop one. Just letting you know. Okay. Wonderful. So thank you for being here. I know that some of you already, a few of you already listened to the call that we did yesterday, to the replay. And let's just be here in this very still October 30th for me here on New Moon Day. So I hope I can muster up some words today because my mind is so empty. And let's just be here in the stillness for a moment. I'm just not doing anything, just being here. Allow everything to just be what it is. Let the mind be what it is, the body, the sensations, the sounds outside, inside. I'm just becoming aware that who you are is what it is. Who you are is always here. And it is pure awareness. It doesn't have a beginning. It doesn't have an end. That which looks out of your eyes isn't even located inside your head. Is it behind you? Is it outside? The awareness that you are, does it stop when you see an object in front of you in the room? Does it go through? Is the object inside that awareness field? Is the object actually an object, or is it also pure awareness? Just wondering, not even answering these questions, just pointing to looking and seeing. Nice. So this third module coming up here is about the heart. And the heart can only be open when there is no reasoning mind active. And when you are in a logical process in the thinking mind, you're working something out, there is a contraction, and that contraction is also inside the heart. So there's a closure in the heart, and there's no love. So love, we're going to learn in this next module that love has nothing to do with a feeling. Love is always excluded when there's a need. Whenever you need something, even an answer, you need something. There's no love, and you're wandering aimlessly in the land of the mind, in a labyrinth of confusion. And although that essentially doesn't really matter, because who you are is not really wandering in the mind. But because there is a confusion there, there is a suffering, and then you suffer and there's pain. And it's very real. The contraction is very real. It's like we look at into the mirror and we see something, ooh, a ghost, and we're scared of it. But it's just a reflection. It's not really real. You touch the mirror and it's just some kind of glass. The mind is like that. It gives you a lot of questions. It gives you a lot of images. And you touch the mind, there's nothing there. So There was a question regarding healing and enlightenment. And you can see I'm a very hard time finding my words because there's really very little movement in my mind today, which is also good. So just allow yourself to just fall right into that. And if you sometimes just don't get logically what goes on today, that's fine too. The better even. When you are sick, let's say there's a disease, because you know you want to have healing because there's a disease, right? Maybe emotional, mental, spiritual, or physical. There's a disease. Then you are either suffering from this disease or you are not suffering. You can be diseased and you can not suffer. Or you're diseased and you suffer. When you suffer, that's when you need to do something, and you are making this very real. This experience is so real, and it's your experience, and you want to do something about it. And when that happens in the context of this course, my job is to point to you and say, first stop suffering. And when you stop suffering, let's not worry about healing the disease or healing anything. First notice that you're suffering. And stop, make sure you stop the suffering first. And when you then are free and you're not suffering anymore, but then you can do whatever you want. I mean, you can smoke cigarettes if you want to, because it doesn't matter at that point anymore. Because you're free. You know that you're not that. The experience of the body and what goes on, you know it's not real. So I'm just using an extreme here with the smoking. But the thing is that so the awakening and enlightenment process is about you stopping the suffering first. And when you can do that, then you can do whatever you want. You can, do anything. You can buy packages, work with healers, whatever you like. When you are suffering and you are not first taking care of the suffering and seeing that, and I give you the tools of meditation and collapsing, the processing method. If you don't do that and you fall into and you respond to the suffering and you go out and do things in order to fix the suffering, you think you're fixing the disease and you're healing things. You can't heal a shadow. Your disease is a shadow. The body is a shadow. You go out to heal this apparent disease. What happens? You're caught deeper in illusion, and this contraction goes deeper and deeper and deeper, and we are going to cause more and more suffering. This makes sense, right? You go on a bandwagon of suffering, and there is no end to it. So this is why one of the teachers I've met a long time ago, his name is Sadhguru Jaggi Vasudev, he says that healing is meddling. And I completely agree. When we heal from a place of, when the healing does not contain realization, then the healing keeps buying or helps us to keep buying into the illusion. So in the context of this work, it's just really about you first noticing that you're suffering. That's what it is. It's not about either or. You see, the moment you come into either or, you're already caught in the mind again. How can there be an either or? There's light and there's light and there's light. But there's light and there is, when you like the dimmer, you can basically turn the dimmer and the light becomes more dim and then it's dark. So in the darkness, the disease is a snake, right? It's like scary. It looks on the corner, it's round, little coiled up thing. But then you put the light, you turn the dimmer and you turn up the light, then you see there was never a disease. There was always a rope. There was no problem. So this is why my job is to point you to the fact that there is no problem. As long as you fall for that you have to fix yourself, you are not working on waking up. You cannot split it, enlightenment and awakening. You cannot. Not in this, because there's only oneness. So whenever there's a split and there's two things, you are in the mind. When you are in your core, resting in the oneness that you are just living your life. There is no You don't even ask yourself, should I do this or that? It's just sort of clear. Things are just clear. You just do them and they're right for you. You're always in the place of being right for you, for what is good and right for you in that moment. And that is what we're pointing to. So when I hear the question, and in this case, I know, Kazri, I'm talking specifically to you, that you just posted and I'm answering to you regarding that on Facebook, is that what I hear is that you want to do this. And then I say, go ahead, do what you want to do, because there's a deep wanting and there's a need there. And keep doing that until you, and maybe even, you know, make a calendar where a need arises, you follow and you're all happy, and then when you fall again and you're miserable, and watch the up and down, and watch how directly is linked to you following your desire. It's the same thing then when people, you know, are drinking alcohol or something. There's this desire, it feels great, and then the hangover the next day, and life just spirals downwards. So it's really something that we have to understand. This is how life works. The mind is like a bottle of alcohol. The more you grab to it, the more you get caught, and the more addictive it is. This is why it's so hard to do this in the beginning. And when you really get this, when you really want to get it, because it's not like, oh, there's something wrong with my IQ. No, no, it has to do with your heart. Is your heart open enough to get this, to want to get this, to want to love life more than the desire of time to go somewhere out there to do something in order to get something? The idea that we get something. When we because there's nothing that can be added to you. You're already who you are. Nothing can be fixed. And then the thought comes up, right? But what about my body, right? Remember, the dimmer, the body is not what it appears to be. You believe it. And so all you can do is have trust and faith that some people tell you that the body is not what it appears to be. I mean, one of the great masters of, you know, in this religion, in the Western world, is Jesus Christ. He said, look, that you can kill the body, but you, it's not real. And 3 days later, he put the molecules back together and showed himself again in the physical form. And then he said, okay, I'm out of here. You got the, did you get the message? I don't have to, you know, hold it together as particles that are solid for you to see for your eyes. Now I'm just going to, you know, create more space between it. And anyways, light. And so as light, his body is still here. So it is really about understanding and trusting the great ones. They're telling you true healing is knowing who you are, and that message will never change. Never, ever. It is always the same, always, no matter of how many new fashions and fads and insights arise in people's and the collective minds. There's nothing new under the sun. Never, ever will there be. The law of life is the same. And when this universe passes, there will be a new universe being breathed out, and it'll be variations of it, but the law remains the same. This is very important to understand. Your core, the emptiness, the light that you are, is always here, has always been, will always be. And the mind can interpret it differently and can get us very confused. So, okay, let's, I'm seeing that Cindy has her hand raised. I'm just going to, Cindy, I'm going to unmute you. Hi, Cindy. Happy birthday again.
Thank you so much.
Uh-huh.
Great.
You're welcome. So I did answer your question yesterday, and did you hear it? You heard it, right? Did you?
I did, yes. Thank you very much. So I'm beginning to understand a lot more on how to unhook the mind. So, but perhaps just to elaborate a little bit more, what I'm noticing, and I'm sure that this process of always taking my, when there's a thought, to bring it back either to the core or to the meditation, gazing. Mm-hmm. When I'm reading people's comments, and especially very long comments, mm-hmm. I tend to get really tired. So it's almost like there's mental, that I'm mentally very tired, I suppose.
Good. I know what you're saying. That's good.
Great.
So when you know, yeah, because you know you, what's happening with you is that you're finding more pleasure in the truth than hanging out in the mind. And when that happens, actually, I totally forgot about it, but you're reminding me, actually, it's kind of neat having students there remind you of these things. I remember this feeling of getting really tired, like I was going to glaze over, you know. And there was a time in my life, I was married once, and with somebody, who, I was around a lot of film people and the press and all that stuff. And I remember I was going to one of these events in Aspen, and there's these important people around me. They were talking, and I literally looked at them, looked away, and just didn't answer. And I thought I was the rudest person ever, but I was couldn't follow their mental process anymore because it was so unreal. And so when you get this tired feeling, and you just wonderful, this is a phase you will go through, and just let it happen. And because you're actually really making a shift into the identifying as the core, as the emptiness. And then once you are that, you can go back and play in the world, right? There is a transition that goes on. So this is good. It's good. Don't read all the comments. When you feel tired, just leave it. Go back to where you are refreshed.
Okay, great. Would that be the same thing as when I'm busy meditating, gazing, and then I also get this real tiredness that comes over for no reason?
When you are in meditation, you're going deep. Yeah, the tiredness is your is actually an unconscious person. They go to sleep, right? They become unconscious, it's tamasic. But when we actually want to wake up, we wake up through this unconscious part of the mind that drags us down. So you move through it and it feels like you're falling asleep, but it's almost like you go there, let it happen, but you stay alert, and then you move through, and then you get that you get the rise again.
Okay.
Yeah, just tell me, try, explore a little bit, find out, and then just to talk to me again. And, you know, because you also have, because of your body and the tiredness and the diseases you've gone through, these are unconscious thoughts, and you need to wade through them when you sit in meditation. So they're going to come up. You're actually facing your disease patterns.
Okay.
And so you are going to, because that tiredness, that becoming unconscious and sleepy is really a form of death, right? I mean, you know, okay. People get unconscious, they just don't remember, it's black. So you want to move through that thought and that mortality, and then find that which is really you.
Perfect.
Do you understand?
I think I do, yes.
Yes, I think you do.
I will listen to this again. Yeah,
yes.
I think I do.
I think you do. It's like some part of your mind is like, what? But who you are has heard me. I know you heard me. So
yes.
Good. Sounds great. Okay, thank you. Okay, Cindy. Bye.
Thank you.
Okay, bye. Bye.
Michelle.
Thanks. Sorry, I just put the mute on and then we cut off. I'm going to unmute Louise. I think this is Louise. Hi, in Michigan. Hello.
Hi, Radhima.
Hi there.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Thank you.
Oh, good. So I wanted to check in with you, and then I just also wanted to ask just for an understanding about an experience I had about a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
And listening to Module 3 gave me some insight, but it was very different for me because, normally when clearing or something dark or something, it feels like it's, like my field is light and then it's something that falls away. But what happened is I woke during the night and I actually felt and saw like a dark energy that was coming into my field, and I actually called for assistance to you and to the masters, and thank you so much for coming to help. And it felt like that energy, this was the first experience I've had like this, that it was actually integrated into my field, and then I have just had such significantly different experience in life since that last week.
In what way was it significantly different, your experiences now?
Well, I felt, even like before that happened, there had been so much coming up around again, with my mother being home temporarily for 10 days and calling 911 five or six times, and then she was back in the nursing home. So there was just so much, you just felt like, you know, anger and darkness that was coming through for me and all of that. And so what has happened after that is just a feeling of more flow, less frustration when different aversions pop up in life, and, you know, just a lot more compassion and awareness that, you know, my mom's experience is my own. So it feels more open-hearted and just more in so many different ways in the flow, like things that I would have gotten very angry about, there's much less aversion coming up to them in the moment.
That's beautiful. You know, when you were speaking about that, that what you're telling me is, it sounds to me like that was some part of your mother that you rejected and judged. And when you let that in, and because love is doesn't see the difference between dark and light, you see, love doesn't know. For love, it's just energy. And so when you truly love and let it in and integrate it with you, you actually became more loving, and that's why you are have more compassion now and more understanding. And that's very beautiful, because it's the hardest is to realize that that which is outside of you and it's the darkest needs to be loved as well, because this is the problem of the polarity, right? There's nothing out there that is needs to be rejected or taken away. Where does it go? It will be take. It looks like it's taken away when you are not capable, when the energy is too big for your system, for your aura, for who you are to integrate. Then it looks like it's being taken away. And so, you know, it depends. If you do dualistic healing, it's actually being taken away somewhere. It's kind of shoved into a corner or something. But essentially, when we say, okay, there's just oneness, there's just existence, then, and you are big enough to integrate that energy, then it'll come into you, and then it'll turn, it just disappears. It's just like I said, mm-hmm. It was an illusion. It was a shadow. It never existed.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you. So this is like, I was wondering if it was my own karma then. And so then that's what ultimately, and I know I don't want to take me someplace that I'm not yet ready to go, but so then that's ultimately, as we expand and become more consciously who we are in all moments, then that's what happens to all darkness, right? Then we no longer have this mm-hmm. Any kind of fear or trying to stay away from something that
that's
we would
right.
call dark.
That's
okay.
Correct. That is correct, yes. What I need to add to that is that we live multidimensionally. You see, on the physical level, I'm not going to integrate it with a driving truck, right?
Because
I'm
going to...
You know, it's very important. So there are also other levels of your existence that will integrate to some degrees. Like, I am very clear on boundaries. When I was working with the other healers, there was a situation where I spoke very differently than most of the healers do, and I just said, that's it. I said, that's not going to happen. You know, I do not, I'm drawing a real line here, because I know on what level the lines need to be drawn in the ultimate existence, on the crown chakra, right? When you know yourself as the ultimate existence that you are, and to some degree in the heart level, that happens also because it's the love, that there's only love everywhere, then you integrate everything. Yes, you are, you do. And coming back actually to Jesus Christ, I don't know why he's coming up today, but he actually said, okay, I'll integrate with the darkness of all of humanity and integrate it into my body. That's why the whole crucifixion, the whole death of the body. So it depends where you integrate it. But you can only do this when you know that your body is light. But the moment, you know, it depends how deep is your realization. And as your realization changes and you become more and more really, your understanding of who you are is more and more light, the more you will integrate with everything. So it's fluid. There's no, you are constantly changing and shifting. So life is always new. Just, yeah. So I know you understand, because you said you don't want to go more where you're not. Yeah.
Yes, this is perfect. Thank you.
Good. Okay. Thanks, Louise. Thanks. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Bye. So we have Katya. Hello, Katya. How are you?
Hi, Aratima. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
So I wanted to ask a question. So yesterday you talked to Rosemary, and you mentioned about that if you spend too much in the third eye or in the base chakra, you might overdo it. Because when we got the module 2, one of the meditation was to kind of switch and stay either in your heart area or in your third eye or in your base chakra. And because I kind of knew that I have some problems with base chakra, I did spend quite a bit of time there.
Okay. You're not in the base chakra. You are in the navel chakra, which is 3 finger widths below the navel. A little bit inside with the Dantian point. It's not directly the base chakras of the perineum, right? We want to be in the belly and the power center.
Okay. I think this is where I am.
Okay, good. Okay, keep asking. Okay, sorry.
So I won't be able to overdo it if I spend time there?
Yeah, you don't want to be there all the time, no, because there's many reasons for that. When you are too much in the third eye, I spoke about it yesterday, it requires a certain amount of, a certain lifestyle. You become very, very sensitive. Your diet needs to change. You become very spaced out, and you become almost like these yogis, all these skinny guys, So you don't really want to do that. When we're in the heart, only in the heart, and there is no roots, there is no power, then you are loving and emotionally all over the place, and you're emotionally vulnerable. You don't really know what true love is because you get caught in the maelstrom of the ocean of these waves and emotions. So you need the roots, and the power is the roots. But if you're always down in the root center, like in the navel center, that's the shamanic level. You open up to the dimensions of dark as well, where there's power. It's the earth forces, the force of the elements. And if you're only there, then you will, and you don't have enough love, and you don't have enough light from the head, you see, you don't understand. You get caught. You don't even know. It's scary. And you don't have the understanding to love, like I just spoke to Louise, to love the dark and integrate it, because you're not putting your attention on the heart. On the physical level, you also overstimulate. Wherever your attention goes, this energy flows there. So if you are always in the navel center, you're going to bring too much energy in that area, and then maybe you get hemorrhoids or you get other kinds of problems. If it's always in the head, you get too spaced out. In the heart, it can be also over congested. So you want to alternate along the core. And so you just alternate all the time. And once you slipped in the core, which I know you do, Katya, you just stay in the core. You don't even think about the points anymore.
Okay, fair enough. And one more question. When you meditate, you also mentioned that if you do it for too long, your ego will resist it. So what kind of signs would I see if my ego is resisting it?
When you meditate too long in a session, you mean?
Yeah,
I don't know exactly.
Yeah, and I remember you mentioned it to somebody that basically you'll resist it and
I think I know what you mean. Yes, that was the 2 or 3 minutes concentration. Yeah, well, when you have meditation is in the beginning. When you are really caught in the mind, sitting meditation is going to be hard work because it's not pleasant. You suddenly becoming conscious of the pain that you live in. That's what meditation becomes. It seems painful. We project that the meditation is painful. No, you've already been in pain. You're just you distract yourself. You run away from it constantly. So if I say to a person that's always running already, say sit down and sit for an hour and a half, they will just say, oh my God, I can't do this. They're going to give up, right? So this is why we start with a little bit, yeah. So it's not an issue for you, but for some people it can be very, very, very challenging. They would, I remember somebody, I don't know who it was, if it was my Nona, I'm not sure if it was you, said, oh, I always wanted to, meditate never really kind of worked, but now I'm starting to get into it, and that's good,
Oh, I see. And you also mentioned yesterday about all people come from different approaches. You mentioned something, people being in their head or tantric approach. What does it mean?
Okay. No, that's good. As we go through this, by the end of the module, you're going to understand a lot of things that are maybe not necessary for waking up, but you'll understand maybe cultural, historical, and have a language, to actually make more sense of your own journey, So the Eastern approach originally, when you look back in history, India, it's all about the chakra system. It goes up and out, right? So it's about exiting, you know, the body and going back to Brahma and to God. Brahma and God are the same. And when then these techniques moved up to China, they began to look at the microcosmic orbit, which did this. They'd say, okay, we don't just want to have a line. What do I do with this great development? Can I use that and curve it back into manifestation and basically enjoy a longevity and health? This is where Chinese medicine, all this stuff is also developed, and the Tao and all these things, you know, these methods of being healthy and living very long lives. They see. So you know, suddenly there's a different approach to the spiritual practice. So there's a cultural component. So when you go to East Indian teachers, there's a lot of still the third eye stuff going on. And some gurus are very heart-centered as well, but it depends, you know. And so in what I offer is that, let me see, there's something else coming through here. What I offer is all the methods basically kind of bundled and simplified so that they are really useful for the Western person, because the Western person is a very highly developed being mentally. Mm-hmm. You're very different than a villager somewhere in India that is still going to the well with a you know, getting water from the well. There's a mm-hmm. totally different way of seeing the world and using the mind, and the methods need to be different for people. And so when you are living in a modern world and you're a mom and you go to work and you're in an office and you use your cell phone and all these things and live in this time and consumerism, you know, we have to understand that and the desires of the Western person, you know, that mm-hmm. we have very material desires as well. So we want to make sure the lower, the tantric point, navel center, that's the tantric point, that mm-hmm. that also flows very well. So you can integrate the light into the physical body and basically have enough light in the body so that you remain more healthy and you're able to buffer the toxins in the world and live in a world where let's say you're in the middle of New York and there's all this traffic, there's noise. If you only meditate in a third eye, it's going to be very hard for you to exist in a place like that.
Okay.
Is that answering the question?
Yeah, very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. All right, thanks. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. All right. So there is somebody in Bedford. Hello. Hello.
Hi, Ratima.
Hi there. Who's that?
Hi. Leslie.
Leslie. Hi there. Okay. So how are you doing? What's your question today?
I'm good, thanks. My question is, another squares kind of question, if that's okay. Mm-hmm. I really love them. I've been using them since the beginning. I think they're really cool. And I was mm-hmm. wondering if you could maybe share a little bit more about how to, I guess, get to the root of things. And, I mean, not to be in like a kind of dualistic healing sort of focus. I guess I'm too focused on kind of squaring things away. But I noticed that the way I do it, I don't seem to be quite getting to the end of things, and I get a little stuck then wondering which thing to work on next.
Okay.
I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah. Why don't you focus, just check in with you, because you want to do this really perfectly, right, and get to the end, all or nothing. Well, at the end, you're turn on into light, right? So you don't have to turn to light right away. Maybe you still want to go to a movie, you know, and do other things or have sex, right? So you want to notice when you are suffering. And when you find that the suffering has gone, you made a shift and you feel pretty good, well, then just leave it. Just enjoy the moment. You're not good, because the moment you're looking for a problem, you're caught in the mind. You are stuck mm-hmm. on processing.
Yeah.
Do you remember the...
Sense.
You understand? So do you, when you do a process and you squared something away, do you feel like, oh, it's like suddenly a little relief or a shift? Somebody wrote me, she starts to shake almost and then jitters and then, you know, and then it's over. Do you notice in notice that you feel better afterwards.
Yeah, absolutely.
And is your mind coming in and saying that's not enough?
Yeah, I guess so, because I have this idea that I should just keep doing it until whatever the issue is completely gone.
Good. I'm glad you're asking this question, because pure Jnana Yoga would be to say, there's nothing for you to do, just be quiet, and you're okay. You're already okay, just enjoy your life, just fine. Now, I'm kind of mixing it. I'm giving you some tantric and Raja school, Raja Yoga and tantric methods. And like, the processes are a tantric tool. They use the energies in order to collapse them into unity back. So you're recycling yourself. And if you make this an addiction and you make this something that you must do before you recognize that you're already okay, then you've turned, you put the cart before the horse again. Can you see that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So just when you're okay, and you are okay, you know, when you're not contracted, you're not suffering, be here, enjoy your life, do whatever you want. But when you notice you are addicted and you're caught in your mind, you need something, you have this attraction aversion, you notice that. And if it's really stuck and it doesn't go away, then sit down to a square. But if you, when you notice it already goes away, that's almost like a square, then you don't, and it's already, it's gone, you just let go. Is consciousness, then you're already free, then there's nothing else to do. So the squares are really good for people that have a lot of physical problems too, because when you have something that is very kind of bugging you all the time, or it draws your attention because you are, there's a bunch of unconscious thoughts, then, you know, maybe, you know, take your 3 months or something and process this issue over and over and over, just like something like brushing teeth, you know, not like obsessively, but you just do every day a little bit, but still enjoy yourself, remain present.
Yeah, no, that makes sense for sure.
Good. Okay. Anything else?
No, I think that's it. Thank you.
Good. Okay. Okay. Bye. Okay, so I have Rosemary here. Hey, Rosemary.
Hi. Hi again.
Hi. Yeah, hi again. Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, good.
Good.
I was listening to what you said to me yesterday, and I'm thinking, yes, I want to go into my heart. It feels like it. Normal place for me to go. I don't know if that's the right word, but so when I'm doing meditation, I wanted to ask you a question again about that.
So I don't remember what I said to you yesterday. That's okay.
We can forget yesterday.
Okay.
So here's my question. I have had the experience of focusing on my heart and going into a place of oneness, and pretty remarkable. Hasn't happened in a few years, but I'm thinking, number one, did you give us a meditation for the heart and I missed it, or do I just make up my own and just kind of go into my, just focus on my heart, and that's the meditation?
I just said that to put your attention on the heart, so that develops your psychic abilities as well.
Okay.
And it also develops true love and essentially merging with existence. Yeah, so just bring it. But then you see the heart initially is where it's kind of where your heart chakra is, but then as you keep being hanging out there, you're going to realize that the heart is everything. It really encompasses from the crown chakra to the base chakra, and then above, and then essentially there's nothing other than the heart. There's only one heart. There's only love. There's existence, love. So you get the sense of your heart is not always just located in the center of your chest. It's everywhere somehow.
Okay. But I've had that sense. I've had that sense. I have experienced that.
You know, let me interrupt you. Let me interrupt you. This will help you. It's not just that you had that once and that you experienced it. You see, experiences come and go. I know this because you're in it right now. I can feel it. So you already are there to some degree. You're resting in the heart always. It's just that you don't always have the experience because your mind is constantly automatically moving from one thought to the next based on the past momentum. This is why, you're getting something very profound here, right?
Yes,
is that you cannot use your mind to measure who you are and what's really going on right here.
Oh, thank you. Mm. Oh, wow. That's very powerful. What's the word for it? There isn't any word.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's funny how the mind always hijacks everything, right?
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
does,
I get that.
It hijacks the whole life. Yeah.
So right now, this moment, I'm sure everybody feels it too on the call, is do you feel like you're in the heart? Or, it's like there's something there, right, that is not measured by the heart, by the mind. Is that correct?
Yes. Right. Yeah. It's also I'm able to talk to you, so there's a functioning that happens.
That's right. Isn't that, see, this is beautiful because a lot of people say, well, when I'm enlightened, then can I go to work? Will I have a relationship? Oh, yeah, of course. You can go to work now and have a better day, right?
Have a much better day.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, everybody can be grumpy and you love them anyway. Like, wow, they're so nice, these people.
Yeah, exactly.
But you can also pretend to be angry. You see, like I talked about boundaries in the beginning.
Yeah.
Somebody let's say at work says to you, they just don't treat you right. You can just like look really angry and just say, F off. You can do the same thing. But your heart is open because it's a game, You don't make it real. But for the other, it feels very real. And they're going to be, in fact, for the other person, when you have an open heart and you act to be a normal person, because we are living in this dimension as well, in this physical, they get a little confused. You can see it in their face. They're like, whoa, because they're energetically feeling something different than what they hear, and they really get scrambled. It's kind of fun.
Oh, that is fun.
Because you're actually helping them to, you get helping them to unhook a little bit in that moment. Yeah.
So the heart energy actually helps them to unhook, even though they're hearing the other words.
Yeah. It's really the way our mothers should have been, or our parents. They should have always loved us, and at the same time also being disciplined and been strict and said no, or put your time out, whatever. But all with an open heart, But, they're just like us. They just don't know. So.
Yeah. Okay, so I kind of like to hang out here for a while.
Okay, you hang out. Okay, thanks, Rosemary. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Okay, so. All right, we have Calgary. Hi, Calgary.
Hi, Winona, actually, but it's a Calgary.
Oh, there you
home.
Go. Hi, Winona.
I'm always. I get to be incognito this way, I guess.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so
a couple of questions. Mm-hmm. One of them has to do with. Well, I don't know which one to pick here. I think I'll pick the one that I was just thinking about with the last call. Is after the last time we had a group call a couple of weeks ago, and I think I shared on Facebook that the meditation process just went so deep for me just instantly.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just beautiful. And it just, I was on this flow. And then when I shared it, after that, I shut down again.
Hmm.
And, And the work, it feels like that, well, I know it must be a pattern of pleasing others. And also withdrawing if, in the instance that anyone may feel that I'm doing better than them, if it can be perceived that way,
I
don't
want to
upset anyone. I don't want to upset anyone. I don't want to appear in any way, but that this is just me, like not wanting to look better or worse, or,
Yeah.
Towing kind of feeling.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is, if you look at this, let's look at this. This is an identity of yours, right? This is the Winona, mm-hmm. right? So, mm-hmm. but is that who you are? Is that who you are?
No. No.
Okay, so if it's not who you are, then don't take it so seriously. Don't please that shadow identity. The identity is like a shadow. Don't please it and just be aware of it. And yeah, and if the body, because the shadow is really deep in the body, so there'll be contraction and you feel uncomfortable and suddenly meditation is going right, or you have these feelings, you know, and this, the mind goes off and reflects and did I say the right thing and what are people thinking? Your job is just to notice and to just recognize that none of that matters.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What matters is that if you're suffering or not.
Okay, yeah. I think, yeah, because I feel like the focus is always on if anyone else is suffering because of my actions.
Mm-hmm, because you don't want to suffer. You don't want to suffer because you're suffering. Because if they suffer, then you suffer. You want to make sure they don't suffer, then you feel better, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, totally, totally.
That's selfish, isn't it?
Very selfish.
Ego is always selfish. Ego is always selfish, yeah, yeah.
Now that's true. Yes. Okay. Okay. So just to really just be who I am, I guess.
Mm-hmm. There's more love in it to behold others as they are, and even if they suffer, to let them suffer, to have the respect, to respect their own path and their own suffering. That is actually true love. When you always, that's actually true compassion. We'll learn about compassion later, but where you actually don't have to fix others, because we come in with our arrogance and think that, oh, it should be this way. These people should not be this way and that way and all this. That is arrogance, mm-hmm. saying like God didn't make this universe in this moment perfect. In this moment, that we know better. But so when you refrain and you remain kind of like in suspense and just let, and it feels uncomfortable, right? You just let all this suffering happening. You just remain and accept it and respect it. You move through this veil. It's a veil. And your heart opens.
That's perfect timing again, of course. I'm out in Victoria right now. Because my daughter went through a bad breakup a few months ago, and I have just not been able to be here to help fix it for her.
Yeah, no, you're not. You're not supposed to.
Just not me too, right? So I finally just go out for the weekend just to be. And it's been an incredibly great experience because she's got strong boundaries, and so, you know, we're only seeing each other for a few hours a day. Right. Mm-hmm. And out of that, actually, this last night, I had just written about it to say, wow, I don't get to do anything for her or anyone else. Right. Like I can't do anything for anyone because I'm not them.
That's
so
right.
So what you're saying is just you're making it much more profound, and, you know, I'm feeling it in my body. So thank you for that.
Yes, you're welcome. And you also are seeing your daughter suffering in the breakup. That's a snake. That's not the rope. You don't have enough light to see the reality of what's going on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And that's the only thing you can work on.
Okay, I will. And I had one other question. Maybe it'll probably tie in with this anyways at some level.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know how to say it, if I'm saying it right, but the Kapalabhati.
Kapalabhati, okay.
That a couple of weeks ago, maybe a little longer, I was doing it, and it ended up turning into more of like a breathwork session. Like it just, I went, right? And I went really, really deep. I went through my body feeling agitated, and I did breathwork, but that's like 20-some years ago now. And that's what it reminded me of. And I just kept going and going. And it felt like a huge release of some childhood trauma. And it was like 27 minutes long. That's when I finally opened my eyes and went, whoa. And my body went into a huge deep cleanse for many days. I could hardly get off the pot. And all of that, right? Like, so then it was afterwards, I was talking to a friend who does yoga who was just in a panic that I could do so much damage to my body by doing that, right? And it was like, so what stepped up for me was, did I do this wrong? You know, should have I not allowed that experience to go all the way through? Because it did hurt my body. Well, it didn't hurt it, but it sure it sure put me not leaving the house much for a few days, right?
What if I told you that that was your karma and it was just scheduled?
Oh, I like it. I like that idea.
just forget about it, move on. Okay. If there's something hurting in the body right now, take care of it. If you're fine today, there's nothing to think about, right?
Mm-hmm. That's what I was appreciating about your call, because I've had, again, since 2 weeks since we started this course, I've had this severe neck pain that's been getting worse, and I have been just observing it and trying to work through it with the squares, and it hasn't budged much. Actually, it's been feeling worse, if anything. And when you were saying that today, I went, okay, I guess I'm on track. I'll just keep doing squares about it and mm-hmm. see what, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, there's the suffering, right? You talked about suffering. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the suffering is deep in the body, so there's a need to have pain, be in pain. You just kind of just let that in and just notice, oh, okay, right? Because we have addiction to pain and suffering because it gives us density. This gives us an ability to identify with the body. Without it, we wouldn't be so identified with the body, right?
Okay.
It gives you a life. It gives you a life, you know. It has a purpose. Mm-hmm. Disease and suffering, pain, all gives us the purpose to be a person. Right? Makes sense? Can you feel that?
I can feel it. That doesn't make sense yet, but I really feel it.
I know. Your mind scrambled. That's good. It was an empty hole there for a moment.
Totally.
That's good.
Thank you for that. Yeah, it's a purpose.
You're welcome.
It's sort of what's become my purpose, is what you're saying. Like,
uh-huh.
That's the purpose.
That's right.
Okay.
So you can decide now, well, you know, do I really have to be this dense? You can allow yourself to be a little less dense. Like Rosemary said, you can still continue your life way better. You don't have to have so much density.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank
you. Okay. Enjoy your life. Thank you. Okay. Bye. Yeah, that's not the human condition. In Glenrock, I'm going to unmute you. Glenrock, hello.
Hello.
Hi. Hey, who is that?
This is Antonia.
Antonia, there you go. I know your accent and your voice.
Good. I wanted just to mention that I'm still with my light. It's still coming from under the dark circle. Still mm-hmm. there. Bright and stuff. I don't have a lot of complaints. I feel very, very good in my body.
Good.
Feel happy.
Yes.
I feel happy. I feel content. When I fall apart, I really fall apart. But when I'm together, I'm together. So, mm-hmm. and I just want to connect and just be with you. That's all.
Oh, good. Well, let's work with this. You know, when you say when you fall apart, you fall apart. When you're together because you are that
yes.
which is aware of all of it, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So can you describe who you are right now in this moment?
Right now, I have no thoughts in my mind. My mind is, I can close my eyes and I can be just empty.
Be empty, just here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I feel my heart. My heart is just very, like, pumping. And I feel good physically. Like I don't have pain. I don't have.
What's happening with the heart? What's happening with the heart when you put your attention to the heart center? What happens?
My heart is beating pretty hard.
Pretty hard, and is this kind of like too much, too heavy beating? It's talking to you?
No. Yeah, it gets excited when I'm talking to you.
Oh, but yeah. Okay.
Beating.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because of the Shakti. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand. But when you're outside by yourself, then the heart is just fine. You're just sitting there. It's empty. Yeah?
It's fine.
Good.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's good.
Right now, I'm doing great. I'm doing really good. Enjoying it. I'm enjoying it.
That's beautiful. Yeah, just I'll keep going deeper into your joy. That's beautiful. And if something changes, the joy will always remain, except you might not be able to see it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, thanks for connecting. Okay, beautiful. Thank you. Okay, so we have one last person here on the line, which is 497, and it's somebody without a name. Is this in Australia? Hello? 497?
Hello.
Hello, yeah. Yes, who's that?
This is Ursula.
Ursula, oh yeah, right, okay. Yeah, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, at least I think so. Sometimes I'm not so sure whether I'm doing well with the meditation. What I wanted to ask about is I've seen Lord Ganesha several times.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't quite sure what to make of it.
it's like, why are you here? You're bothering my meditation. Get out.
What are you doing here? That was like, you know, I never... that wasn't a deity I have sort of
chosen,
thought too much about or dealt with in any way. So that's why I was really surprised.
Yeah, you see, Lord Ganesha actually appears to a lot of people without them knowing who the hell is this person. I had students that said, this is elephant. I keep seeing this elephant. Why do I see this elephant? What's wrong with me? I'll explain this. Lord Ganesha is the same as Christ consciousness. It is for this particular earth. It has a unifying principle. Ganesha, Ganapati, is a group. It unifies things. It makes things come together. So it is a group consciousness, blender or whatever, making whole. So when you have Ganesha showing up, Ganesha is, there is a phantom chakra between the base chakra and the second chakra. Because Ganesha is the wife of Kundalini. And when you go on to spiritual journey, he is the one who has all the say. He opens the portals to the other dimensions, and he also keeps Mother Shakti sort of kind of harmonious, and it kind of, he takes away and removes the obstacles on the path like a snow plow. It just basically pushes away all the debris in your karma as much as he can so that things get smoother and unifies everything. This is a very important principle. This is why in the Hindu culture, Ganesha is revered first before any other prayers are done, because otherwise you can't get through the into the other dimensions. He's like the bodyguard.
Okay. Oh, I was on your Kundalini call, and when you talked so much about what could happen, I thought, well, I don't think I want to have this part.
Yeah.
Sounds, well, pretty uncomfortable.
Yes. Well, when we talked about the Kundalini call, it was especially about Shaktipat and activating Kundalini directly. Of course, when we do spiritual work, we're going to activate Kundalini. If I ask you to do these practices, you can't wake up without Kundalini. But it's not a direct Shaktipat. That would be like just letting the volcano explode, you know. That's not what I'm doing with this course. You are basically... it's a gentler path, let's put it that way. So when you actually meditate and Ganesha appears, what happens? What do you do then? Do you just sit there and he stares at you, or what happens?
Well, it sometimes even seems as if he's smiling at me. It changes, really. It's not like it's a fixed image and always the same. And then I had thought about, you're saying, trying to merge.
Mm-hmm.
With the deity, but that was something that I couldn't do, you know?
Yeah,
so
no.
Maybe it's lack of power, or it's just not what is meant to happen.
That's right. Yeah, Ursula, that's right. There's a reason why I can sense when you're talking to me, because I can see, is that he is Ganesha. Every part of the deity that you see, if you see the eyes, or let's say you see his hand or foot or whatever, the nose, the ears, it's all a transmission. Because it's pure energy, it's pure consciousness, the universe in front of you, and you're getting a particular transmission. So you just lock into whatever is. If he smiles at you, just connect with that and receive is all you have to do. Right? Mm. And he will invite you. He governs the fabric of his reality, how he exists, is way denser. This is why it's easy to be seen and related to. He will directly communicate to you. In my case, I'll share that he would always ask me to sit next to him. He always said, come on up and sit next to me. So I always went and sat next to him. And that was what he wanted from me. And sometimes he overshadows you, and then you become an elephant. So he will do lots of different things. You just, you know, let it happen. And right now he's transmitting things and working with you through his eyes and smile.
Mm-hmm. Well,
this is all happening in the psychic realm, okay, and this is very real.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point, all this is also unreal, and you will just remain as you, who you are, which is everything.
Well, because I'm not very visual, I was pretty sure that it must mean something, you know, because it's just so unusual for me.
You're looking for a meaning. Why would he do that to you?
Because I'm too mental.
yeah. It's the coach in you, right? So there's you, the ego wants to have some meaning. But it's not really about, like, why is this... It's about eating the food, you know. You need to eat it. You need to receive it and let yourself be transformed. It's like when you lie in the sun and the sun is shining and it feels good. You absorb the rays. You absorb the light of these beings that appear and help you on your journey.
Yeah, don't ask why the sun is shining.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's shining anyway, if you're there or not. You see, ego, it doesn't matter. Like, Ganesha is still going to do and appear even if you're not there, right? It's kind of humbling.
Then there's a second thing that my heart on my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I have given a workshop together with a colleague, and I noticed that... Well, I did a bit of squares before because I noticed that I was being a bit nervous about it and will I be doing this right and all that kind of thing, will they like it? And that was pretty much okay. Mm-hmm. But then afterwards I felt really, I would say, like off-center. And there will be another event in November, mm-hmm. which is longer. This first event was like half a day.
Mm.
And the second one will be for 2 days. And I thought, well, it reminded me a bit of in former times. This happened even when I wasn't with a big group or something, but I believe that it has something to do with being together with people, in this case perhaps with many people, like 20. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not too many, but perhaps for me, I don't know. I didn't even meditate on that evening.
Well, you're around a lot of psychic energy and you're engaging as a workshop person, you know. So, mm-hmm. of course, you're going to be absorbing psychic energy. Everything like 3 feet close to you, a meter close to you, is going to affect you strongly. So what I suggest is that you really do meditate and cleanse. Meditation is a cleanse, right? Make sure you do have a good sitting. If you can, even up to an hour before and also in the evening. And if you have time to shower as often as you can. Water is also cleans your aura. And then when you are in the workshop, check yourself. When you have the feel like you need to prove yourself, you need to accomplish something, that's ego. Snap out of it and just be there. Let the workshop happen through you.
Hmm.
Be yourself. Don't serve any idea. And you're safe because you're standing in your own light then.
Mm.
Yeah. A cup of hot tea helps too to cleanse things out. It's just what happens, right?
Okay.
Is this helping or is there some other question coming up?
Is it helping? The only question that just came up was that I have a feeling that I'm a bit more open that morning than most people.
You what? You're more open?
Yes, to sort of absorbing energy and perhaps connecting too strongly.
Well, there has to be somebody there to connect strongly and to absorb, right?
Yes.
Right? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You have to sit and meditate and get past that identification. I absorb everything. I mean, it's all. But the thing is that I just don't hold on to it and let it move through. So you let it move through fast, like zip, split second. Me laughing. What's funny about it?
If I could duplicate that, it would be great.
Well, you have to practice. That's why you sit first for a long period. I do a real cleansing session and get to know your mechanism, how things move through you. You have to learn for yourself how you hold on and suffer, or how you are not holding on and not suffering. You need to know the difference of yourself. It doesn't help. You see, it doesn't help when people say, oh, you know, you're an empath and then you need all mm-hmm. these tools. That's mm-hmm. categorizing something. You're not. You're the self. You're the light. This is not helping. Mm-hmm. So forget about that. It's your job to know when you're suffering and when you're not suffering, to just stop it.
Yes, I also got a feeling. I was, for some time, I was into like finding out when and all that kind of thing. And then I started noticing that it's sort of more fixates things, you know, but...
Yeah.
That aren't fixed.
Yeah.
Really, so.
Yeah.
Doesn't help. It's just the contrary.
Ganesha is very helpful. You can call Ganesha and say, I really need some help during this workshop. Can you be by my side? He will do that. But I suggest that you are maybe light a candle for him and love him. Give him love. He wants because this is a universe of love. You can't just take. So you want to love. When he comes, let him give you his love. And if you feel like this is working for you, if this is too weird because your mind comes and says, I don't know, this is just an idea in my head, I'm just having a visualization here, then do something else. Then you take the responsibility fully and say, okay, I am the only one here. And I'm going to make sure I know when I suffer, when I contract, and when not.
Well, it would work wonderfully because I think he's really cute, you know.
He's very cute. He's very cute. He likes honey. We had a workshop once, and it was really strange. Like, we had a huge, big pot of honey, and the honey disappeared. He loves honey. And when I had, he drank milk. Like, you know, statues can drink milk. So I did a little puja, and he liked it when I did it a little lukewarm and I put the honey in, a little bit of yogurt. It had to have a certain quality. And you just gobbled it up. Like, he is very, like a little kid, you know?
All right.
Okay. Let me know how it goes. Okay, Orla. Thank you. Okay, you're welcome. Bye. Okay, so this is a webcast 44208. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hi there. Who's that?
Yeah, hi, Aratima. This is Anya.
Anya, hi there.
Yes, hi. I would like to ask a question about being in your core and the healing. Mm-hmm. You said that being in the core is very healing for us. It's like when we bring an issue, it's like punching the holes in it
mm-hmm.
and starts the process of disintegration or healing. And I would like to ask you, how can we do that in regards to healing others? Like, how do we approach healing others and being in our core? Do we take the people, the energy into our core, or do we send the energy to them during the healing session?
Yeah. Do you do a particular method? Are you doing some kind of healing method, Anya?
I do a lot of different
different
shamanic
things.
Healing, energy healing.
Okay, so what I would suggest is that you want to be yourself. Being in your core is like you're being yourself. You're safe, you don't project, you don't pull, nor do you give anything from the ego, from the world of duality. So you're in the place of that is most sacred. In that place, you're safe and you're also alert. You're most psychic because you just know. And then you also know what to do. Do I go right? Do I go left? Do I do this kind of healing technique or do I do this? Do I mix it up? You're in the moment. You're here. And then you will basically do the right things. And then you'll apply the right methods, the right words, whatever it is. So being in the core, you might just have your hands there. You might just sit with this person and you're just basically your presence alone. You could be in a bus and be in your core. And that moment, everybody around you receives a healing. You see, because the oneness, the truth is what heals. All methods are we're using methods in order to go to oneness. But so the most important thing is that you are only a good healer if you are truly awake in your core. So you rest in your core, prepare yourself, be really here, like I said to Ursula, just be yourself as much as you can. Be humble and then just do whatever you need to do. And then it doesn't really matter really what you do. What matters is that you are following your truth in that moment that will say, do this or do that.
Mm.
Is this helping?
Yeah, that's very helpful. That's what I've been doing or trying to do. But similar to Ursula, I've been like collecting a lot of energies from other people, you know, even especially during the healing sessions. I would just like, sometimes I would put a hand on someone to diagnose a place, an aching joint or something, and I feel the energy coming into my hand, like, you know.
That's correct. I know exactly what you're saying. This is why, the reason why this is so, because you're still trying to do dualistic healing. You're still trying to do flow healing and all these things. So you have to know that none of this is real. This is really, we're in the fifth paradigm. There are no structures. There's no walls you can hide behind and say, oh, there's the sick client and here's me and I'm healthy and I'm just going to throw something over there, some good energy. That's all concept. That's gone. It's gone. So suddenly we're all here and everything is here and your mind is now the only thing that needs to shift the seeing. You need to declare that there is health. And so this is why the healing methods have changed, you know. People call it quantum healing, you know.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Yeah. Is this
helping? It has to be like an open window and we have to allow this energy to pass through. But somehow I'm trying to do that, but somehow it's like sometimes I'm wiped out after the session.
Yeah, because you unconsciously have still too much identification, so it gets stuck in your body. There's density there, so you need to clean that. Do a lot of squares on maybe why you want to heal, everything that you kind of get touched on, and then really know that healing is it's not really real. It's everything is healing. Maybe this helps too. Everything is healing. You cook somebody a meal, you go for a walk, you mow their lawn, you just everything is healing, and everything that is radiating from you that contributes light to the world or darkness. So that's why some people say everybody's a healer anytime, all the time, 24/7. There isn't a real job of healing, really. We can make it that way on the outside, but don't believe it on the inside. Don't make it real. When you make something real, it becomes dense and you will suffer. You incur karma.
So we have to operate from that place of beauty, from that place of lightness, from that core, it were, it's
that's
because
right.
Sometimes when you are in that structured session, you know, in comas, there is a session and you enter that place, and even I try to be light about it, but somehow, you know, the subconscious beliefs cause me to.
You need to also have your aura not in a yin position. Most healers, especially women, are very receptive and they absorb. So the way it looked like when I still have my office, I don't go there anymore. But it's, I would go there for years and people would come, and to me it was just like hanging out with somebody, and I said the certain things or I did certain things, but I wasn't trying to do a service. Do you know what I'm saying? That yin way of kind of being receptive and I'm pleasing you. Now you gave me money and now I'm going to do this for you. No.
It's the sense of responsibility that they are paying me. I have to deliver.
That's right, because you see, this is business stuff. This is what I do in business coaching for, you know, that I have long time ago, I've separated what I do with the money that I receive. Somehow I'm getting money, but it's not because I do the healing. The healing can't be paid for anyway. So you basically receive money, and then you basically, again, you don't think you have a responsibility. This is all happening. It's a dream. You see, you're receiving money and then somebody comes in the door and they have some words and they say something and have a problem. And then you just be yourself and you just do whatever you think is the best and don't think you owe them anything. Because you're not doing the healing anyway. God's doing the healing, or the universe.
Sure, right. But, you know, even a few days ago, I had a session swap with a friend, so it was no money involved. And after the session, I felt so bad, you know, like I've put all her bad energy into me. And I'm like, oh, it's happened so many times with this particular person, and I'm so aware of it, and it still happens.
You need to take a break then. Like, you're just not quite ready then. They'll be very honest. If you cannot be real and yourself without any give and take, you're not a healer. Like, I'll be very direct here. You have to be clean and pure, and you have to be harmless. You cannot harm a person. By taking the energy, you're also harming, because they're going to have to give it back to them. It's a karmic cycle. You're not helping that person. You're binding them as well. So you have to be very harmless. You have to owe nobody anything. You have to be clean, always clean. Very important. Just take it, if you can, take a break and really, really pray and go deep into this. And maybe forget everything that I said, because just respond what happens inside of you after this conversation, what comes up. It's going to cleanse and purge things. And then maybe in a few weeks or whatever, you'll go back to it and it'll be different.
All right. So, yeah, resting in my core and then take it from there. All right.
Yes. Good. Simple. Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Bye, Anya. Okay. So there's a person in, says anonymous, no number, on a web link, I think. Hello?
Hello.
Hi there. Yes, that's you. Who's that?
It's Angela.
Angela. There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. Hi there.
I haven't got a question. I just wanted to say hello.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah.
Put my hand up.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, so I read your message. That's wonderful. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Are you getting some more rest?
Yeah, I am now, yeah. Wrong me today, but I'm not. And there's so much to go through with on the modules, the different things. I'm just going to have to get organized with it. And I mean, meditation's going all right, but when I'm trying the intermediate meditation, my attention, just even if it's in my car, it just goes back to my heart. And when it's in my third eye, it just moves back down. So
just let it. Just let it. Forget all the instructions. Just when you're in your heart and you're resting in your heart, you're happy and it's right, just stay there. Just stay there. Just let it happen. Yeah, it's good.
So that's okay then, yeah.
That's beautiful.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks for connecting. Okay, bless you, Angela.
Thank you.
Bless you.
Thanks.
Okay, bye. Okay, and this is Wilma. Hi, Wilma.
Hi, I want to thank you for yesterday. It was amazing for me. And all the questions and that people have asked and your answers are even bringing me into a further alignment. But I would like to share with you what occurred this morning due to what you said yesterday. When I was doing the meditation, I was doing it on the third eye, and then I was getting questions and I was just watching them. But what happened is the third eye encompassed my entire being. It then took over the heart, and that man, it merged with the power section, and then I was just all one.
Beautiful.
And it was amazing, absolutely amazing, watching everything collapse.
Yeah, so because you let go yesterday of that needing to know that part that kind of was hanging on, so, and then you can experience that. Now you notice the seamlessness, you know, and the presence that you are all the way through. That's beautiful. It feels good, right?
Yeah, wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Where everything I was trying to get understanding about, and especially taking the class, brought up questions and put me in duality, and it was like a shock. I didn't know what to do, and then I was able to write after that, and it came easily because everything else was collapsed.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, everything comes easy. Difficult is always a sign there's ego involved, there's resistance. You know, it's like pushing against a wall. It's difficult. But otherwise, everything flows and it's effortless. And just like the heart, it just beats. It just all happens by itself. And we recognize that the idea that we exist is an idea. And when the idea is absent, then there's just living. And we kind of return back to a state of like an infant, but just in a fully functioning body and mind. It's just absolutely amazing. It's just an amazing, crazy universe.
Yes, it's so wonderful to feel free again.
Okay, yeah.
I want to say thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for everybody who is part of our group.
You're welcome. Thanks so much. I'm sure everybody enjoys it. Thanks. Okay. Bye. Okay. So there's no more hands up. And if there is one person here, I will take one more call that maybe is struggling a little bit or can't formulate a question, but just something not sitting right, then please raise your hand. Otherwise, we'll just going to finish up with a meditation. Let's take a deep breath and just be here. And wherever your attention is resting, if it's in the heart, wherever it is, in the third eye, or it's somewhere where it's just still in the stillness, it has no location, that's just fine. Om Hari Te Pundarika Amaryastam Prata Surya Samabravam Pashankusha Dharam Saumyam Vararabhaya Hastakam Trinetram Raktavashanam Bhakta Kama Duram Bhaji. Thank you for being here today, and have a wonderful Halloween or whatever you celebrate or not, and we'll see each other on the inner plane. Thank you. Thank you for being here today. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.
The moderator has left the conference.